We could start. Okay. So this is from Revolvi's, Shlomo Volvi, the great Mashkiach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The very first pages of the Ali Shor, the first volume of Ali Shor. And Revolvi begins by saying, I'm going to do something a little different than I'm used to doing. But the truth is, he says, I need to do this in order to lay a foundation for my entire Sefer. And you'll see, he doesn't directly address Hanukkah, but you'll see why it's mamish, the whole Indian of Hanukkah is this little Hakadama. Okay, we're just going to do two pages of it. Yisod ha-chinuch le-Torah mahu. What is the foundation of our chinuch? There you go, there's Hanukkah. What is the foundation of our chinuch, of our education, of developing a framework of Torah living, of Torah learning, and of Torah living? So he says, before I begin my Sha'arim, the first volume of Ali Shor is divided into four gates, into four sections. I want to talk to you about something, he says, that is really in the category of Kivshono Sha'olam, secrets of creation. Things that are not really able to be revealed, even though we live with it every second of every day. And he writes, Shalokadar Kenu Bifnim Hasha'arim, Shasham Anu Makpidim Al Kalus Upashtus Harza. As opposed to the rest of my Sefer, where I dafka try to write in a way that's clear and straight and simple and not too lofty. Nishtadul Kan Lachsov Es Ha'ikar, Asher Alav Misrakeh Masefer Bechol Amko. But he says, I want to begin to work here together to reveal Lachsov, to reveal the primary thing upon which our whole sefer is misrakeim, is woven from, right? Meaning these are so to speak the raw threads which the entire depth of the sefer will be built upon. Hadvarim yuvnu leishuram rak achar ha'iyun b'sefer kulo. This will only be sort of proven and justified when you get to the end of the sefer. Ad ne'ilas hasharim va'ad bechlal, until you get mamish to the end of the sefer, several hundred pages long. Because the end is connected to the beginning. So everything I'm going to explain in my entire, 343 pages of the first volume of Ali Shor is built on this idea. Even though here we're going to say it in a sort of a very deep way, even though you'll see it's not esoteric in the way that, we sometimes try to explore. But it's a very deep yesod that you have to think about. And everything I'm trying to explain in the entire Sefer is really built on this idea. What is the idea? It's really we're going to see a piece from the Chovas HaLevavos, we're going to see an explanation from the Ramchal, and we're going to see a Gemara in Brachos. That's it. But if we can really understand these three things, we'll see unbelievable things. And it's a Cheshbon HaNefesh type of piece. Baal Chovas HaLevavos Kosev Ba'akdama LeSefer. The Chovas HaLevavos wrote in the introduction to his Sefer, Ha'adam Michubar MiNefesh VeGuf. A person is made up of a body and a soul. A soul and a body. Vishneyem mitovos habore aleinu. And we have to be thankful to Hashem for giving us a soul. We have to be thankful to Hashem for giving us a body. Ha'echad nira v'hasheni eino nira. And that's exactly what this piece is going to be about. My body is very real to me. I see it. I feel it. Everything about it is very real. There's nothing hidden or esoteric about it. Even though there's obviously inner dimensions to my physical body that I don't fully grasp or understand, right? But it's nira, it's apparent. V'hasheini, but my soul is eino nira. The soul cannot be seen. V'anachnu chayavim la'avod oso ba'avur ze avod gluya v'avod tzfuna. And therefore, we need to work. And what he's really sort of the implied question is: why do I have a body and a soul? Why can't I just have a singular entity, which is me? Why do I need these two totally different worlds combining to somehow live side by side? Right? Mafli la'asos. Every time I go to the bathroom, we say it's a pella. It's a wonder that these two things could ever get along, that they could ever stay together. And they're constantly fighting. My body and my soul are constantly fighting with each other. And somehow they're still married. They didn't get divorced after all these years. Right? So that's a wondrous thing. So the fact that Hashem created us this way, it demands of us, it obligates us to serve Hashem and to work with an avoda gluya, to work in a revealed type of work, corresponding to the body which is revealed. But it also demands, the fact that I have a hidden part of myself requires me to perform an avoda, to work on myself in a hidden type of way. What does that mean? Hagluya chovas ha'evarim kmo ha'tfila v'atzom. Obviously, the revealed aspect of avodas Hashem is what is demanded of my limbs, namely to daven, to fast, v'chulu. Interesting examples, right? When I daven, so I'm using my speech, I'm using my koach ha'dibur. Maybe when I'm shuckling, that's part of using my body, using my limbs. I'm aligning my feet a certain way. I'm sitting down, I'm standing up. I'm wrapping tefillin into my arm. That's all the external service of Hashem, the service of the body, so to speak. When I fast and I decide to deny my body food, that's working with the body. And of course, the name of his sefer, right? Rabbi Bachi ibn Pekuda's magnum opus from the 11th century, Chovas HaLavavos means what? The duties or the obligations of the Lavavos. Sometimes translated as heart. Perhaps he really meant the duties of the mind, right? The Seichel, the heart, the Neshama, however you want to translate it exactly. But there's a hidden dimension, so to speak. Again, in his time, Lev really is understood as mind, as Seichel. The heights of man is our intellect. We translate Lev as heart, and we think of it more as an emotional connection. Dassler has a piece in the fourth volume of Michta Me'aliyah where he explains kind of that relationship between mind and heart and the connection between them and why we think of Lev as, you know, sort of emotional, and the Rishonim used it more as intellectual. Okay, fine. But the point is that there's a hidden dimension to ourselves, right? Beyond just going through the motions, there's a hidden dimension with which we need to instill Hashem's reality in our hearts, in our minds, to believe in Hashem, to believe in the Torah. To accept this work upon us, to fear Him, to live with awe before Hashem, to be submissive before Him. And again, all of the other intellectual and emotional obligations that are placed upon us as Jews. Whatever thoughts a Jew is supposed to have, whatever feelings a Jew is supposed to have, that all corresponds to the hidden dimension of a person, namely the neshama. So now, says Rav Volbi, Chovas HaLevavos just told us two unbelievable things. Yeshnam bezeh shnei chidushim hatzrichim iyun. He just told us two very important ideas that require much contemplation. Ha'echad, hagdaras guf v'nefesh k'nira v'enonira. Number one, to think of the body and the soul as the part of myself that is revealed and the part of myself that's concealed, that which can be seen and that which can't be seen. To realize that so much of my life revolves around the part that can't be seen. Asher lefi havanaseinu havchana ikaris hi haguf, chomer kosher lera, v'hanefesh ruchnius hakshur lekedusha, v'lama bachar achovas lababos v'havchana tzad. We have nira and we have eno nira, right? The guf, which is attached to physicality, which gets us into a lot of trouble. Why is that the part of myself, so to speak, that, and why is the neshama, which is striving for ruchnius and kedusha, why is that sort of hidden, obscured from reality, as it were? You would think, if the purpose of my life is ruchnius, so build me in such a way that I am ruchnius, and I can work on that. In other words, Hashem, basically, you built us backwards. You built us sort of destined to fail. You made my body primary, at least as far as my perspective, and you kind of hid the essence of me away. Why would you do that? That's question one. And Shein is Mizbar B'zeh, and further we need to contemplate, Ki guf ha'nefesh mechuyavim shnei sugei avoda, v'dafka lefi ha'agdar ha'nizkar le'al, avoda gluya v'avoda tzvuna, gam b'zeh tzarech havana. And the fact that, again, the way the Chovas HaLevavos said that, well, body and soul come with sort of two different mission statements, body being the work of the revealed, and the nefesh, the neshama, being the work of that which is hidden, right? Again, we need to understand what that work is and why it was created that way. Okay, so let's go further. Divrei hachov, next paragraph. Divrei hachovas lavavos noigim be'etzem inyin guf nefesh asher yetziras ha'odnim ba'atzom v'chayevas osanu lizbonin mazos ose lukim guf v'neshama kishtei yetziros v'lo yetzira achas. Again, let's ask the question. The fact that we have guf and neshama, the fact that we think it's mafli la'asos, that they're able to coexist, The fact that they're fighting all the time, you kind of wonder, Hashem, you are one, so why didn't you make us, right, to reflect, if we're supposed to try to be like Hashem, so why didn't you make us wholesome like you? Why didn't you make us of one type? Right? In other words, why did you make us shtei yitziros v'lo yitzira achas? Why are we this strange mesh of opposites, as opposed to just make us a singular entity that has a oneness to it? She'a od mitzias achas v'lo she'a morkov. Not to be grafted from these different things, you know, clinging to each other, kamoshu ata, as it is today. Why did you make it that way, Hashem? Again, that seems to make it very difficult, and it seems to not be a good reflection of you. If we're supposed to be, in some level, kiviyachol, the embodiment of you in this world, well, Hashem echad, so we should be echad. Why did you make us this strange mix of parts? Kach shol Rabbeinu Ramchal b'sifro das tvunis. Ramchal, famous for the Mesilas Yesharim, famous for the Derech Hashem, wrote a sefer called Das Tvunos. And in the Das Tvunos, Ramchal lived a very short life in the 1700s. 39 years. It's unbelievable what the Ramchal accomplished in such a short amount of time. The number of svarim he wrote in Machshava, in Kabbalah, he wrote plays, he wrote poetry. Unbelievable what we have from the Ramchal. A very short and a very challenging life. He was questioned by many for overstepping in certain areas. So the Ramchal writes in the Das Tvunos, in answer to this question, right? It's written sort of as a give and take, the Das Tvunos. So he asks the question, why are we created as these two separate, you know, entities that have to now somehow join together? It seems very unnatural. V'tshuvasohi, ha'lokim osa haguf hazeh chomer of. Hashem made our body out of raw physicality. Right? It's an existence that, so to speak, lives in the shadows. Bilti royal or, it's chashuch, bilti royal or. It's dark. The body is a dark place. And it's not able to encounter the light, the or kedushaso yisbarach. Bipnei mezgo hashafel ezeh, because of its nature, because of its lowly nature. And in other words, the body abhors spirituality, it rejects light, it wants to just enjoy physicality. It comes from the dirt, it goes back to the dirt, and it wants to play in the dirt while it's here. Ki ein levo el shar ha-melech ulevaker be'echalo el eshlei me'ha-chana. Because it's impossible for a person to come to the palace, right, except for those who are fit for the palace. So in other words, the body is not really fit to connect to Hashem, and it doesn't. V'zeh ha-choshech ha-mutva b'chuko shel ha-guf hu ha-sam b'kir bo eskol ha-taivos ha-raos ha-sholtos bo. Very dark words. He says, and this nature, this chok, this reality of the body, places within the body, this makeup of the body, places within the body a drive for all sorts of negative pleasures, which seem to dominate at times, seem to not even be in control, be able to deny those pleasures. And it makes the body fit for all sorts of negative things that will befall it. In other words, the body is completely out of control. The body is not looking for spirituality. It's not programmed for spirituality. It doesn't know how to get itself ready. It doesn't know how to get itself aligned with God. And then you, so to speak, have the prince from the palace. You have the neshama, the pure and holy neshama, alokai neshama shenasati b'tahorahi. You have the neshama, which was carved out, yun, from tachas kisei hakavod, v'horida, and was sent down to this world, v'nafcha b'socha guf hazeh l'taro l'kadsho. And so to speak, you know, as the ship is like, you know, heading towards shipwreck, so all of a sudden, Hashem drops down the captain of the ship from the shemayim, that's the neshama, and it tries to grab hold of the wheel and try to steer the ship to safe passage through the yam of taivos of this world. To gain a little control and to guide the body and to purify it and to elevate it. V'zeh ma shetzorach lahavim. Ki ein sof hakavano b'bias ha-neshama b'guf l'shetichya oso b'chai ha-hevel ha-eila. Aval ikar bia bohu l'zachich oso zichuch mamush la'aloso mishval madregoso ha-chomris ha-madrega al-yona li'os k'malachi ha-sharis. Says the Ramchal, I'm not saying, don't be mistaken to think, the mashal I just gave, that the goal is that the captain should be able to just steer the ship so we don't have a tragedy, so the ship doesn't sink. That's not the goal. The goal is not merely that the neshama should be able to guide the body through this world and it doesn't, you know, self-destruct, that it should just be able to survive and to navigate the chai hevel. No. The goal of the neshama is that the body should be what? The same way we spoke in the past about how the Yetzer Tov is supposed to take the Yetzer Hara and turn it into another Yetzer Tov. So the body is supposed to, in a certain sense, be turned into another neshama. Look at the words again. Three lines on the bottom. Ikar bia bohu lezachich oso zichoch mash. The goal is what? Shemen zay zoch, is to be mezaka, is to make the body zoch, zichoch mamish. That the body should mamish undergo a zichoch, a purification process. It should be so refined to lift it from the shval madregaso achomis, to lift it literally out of the dirt from which it comes, to a madrege el yona to be kamalachi asharis. Do angels have bodies? So that's a complicated question. Right? I'm not really sure how to answer the question. I would say sort of. Meaning, they're not neshama in the way that we think of our neshama. They're also not bodies in the way that we think of our bodies. It's some type of they have some, they seem to have some type of form, right? Something that is, maybe resembles a body in a certain way, but it's an entirely spiritual body. So we have our lowly body, we have our very lofty neshama, mamish polar opposites. You have a chelak elokami ma'al mamish, have a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of you, and then you have a body that's mamish dirt, right? And somehow, this neshama is supposed to turn this body into what? Into a malach, to be like malach yasharis, to totally transform the body. Not just to make sure the body doesn't do terrible things, you know? Like the neshama follows the body around, so it doesn't do anything like it's going to be super, you know, regretful of. It'll just make smaller mistakes. No, the goal is that the neshama should transform the body into something entirely spiritual. Why did I give you the mashal? Why did I give you the mashal of a captain on a ship? I stole it from the Malbim. The Malbim writes that when Moshe Rabbeinu is placed in his little basket, the Malbim has beautiful deshonos there in his parish on Chumash. And the Malbim says that Moshe in the boat... Let's say it like this. We'll see. It'll become more clear in a few moments, right? You have your neshama in your guf. We're going to see we have, so to speak, Hashem in the world, right? Hashem, so to speak, is the neshama of the world. So when Moshe's body is placed on the boat, when Moshe's placed in his basket, that means the entire Moshe, so to speak, is the captain to the boat, which is a basket. In other words, normally we would say, no, the body is the basket, and the captain is the neshama. But if the body of Moshe is, so to speak, the captain, that's a way of saying that Moshe's body and the neshama sort of became one. And that's really what the Malbim writes over there. Moshe Rabbeinu had really elevated himself. He was a baby at that point, but Moshe will elevate himself to the point that he refines his body. And that's why you can have a Moshe Rabbeinu who goes up to Shemayim, and for 40 days and 40 nights, I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I didn't sleep. He literally left this world. He came back glowing to this world. We're all familiar with Yaakov Avinu Lomes, the Gemara in Tanis Daf Hey. Gemara also says Moshe Avinu Lomes. We don't know Kfuraso Shomos. We don't know where he's buried. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudalet. Why don't we know? Because in a certain sense, Moshe never died. At the end of his life, Mamish, the last Pesukim in the Torah, Moshe's full strength, full vigor. His eyesight hasn't waned. He never wore glasses. You know, he never had to go to the doctor. His eyes had not dimmed. His vigor had not diminished. He's 120 years old. He died because he had to die, because Hashem told him, it's time for you to die. But his death is not really a death. Like it says in Tikkun HaZohar, Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara. The ispashtus, the impact of Moshe, is felt in every generation. But it means that Moshe, in a certain sense, lives on in a very real way. Moshe Rabbeinu lives on. And how does a person do that? By taking your body and making it eternal, making it neshama. The body is temporary. The neshama is eternal. The neshama has the ability, through hard work, to transform the body to become eternal. And the tzaddikim who reached, you know, that level became it. They did it. So that's what he's saying here. We find this by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was zichich es chumriyoso. Did I explain it well? Did it make sense what I was saying? That Moshe, again, Moshe in the basket, right? The entire Moshe in the basket means his body and soul, so to speak, were the captain of the ship. As opposed to us, we think our neshama is the captain, the body is the ship that's heading towards shipwreck. By putting Moshe into something else, it's saying the entire Moshe was holy. That's how the Malbim describes it over there at the beginning of Shemos. So Moshe became like a Malach Mamish. That's why Moshe is called at the end of the Torah. He's called an Ish Elokim. He's a godly person. Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. Yaakov Avinu also in the Gemara Megillah is called Kel. Is called godly. Moshe Rabbeinu is called an Ish Elokim. Right? He's not a regular human being. Let's turn the page. The Kvar Ra'u Kol Yisrael Ki Karan Ur Pnei Moshe. We know that Moshe had a shine on his face. Achaderech Bo Tuchal and Hashem Lezachich Es Gufa Hu B'Maisa HaMitzvos V'Kiyam HaTorah. But the way that we refine the body is specifically through the performance of mitzvos and through keeping the Torah. Which will bring us now a little bit back to what we started with. You have a body which is supposed to do the avoda galuya, the revealed avoda, and you have a neshama that's supposed to do the avoda tzafuna, the hidden avoda. How does that work? Harizoi tachlis hayitzira, lafochas ahester panim shabaguf, laheyur or hakadusha baguf atzmo, atshuhuya kulo giloi kvod shemayim. The goal is to what? The goal is again to transform the body. That every bit of the body should be an expression of kvod shemayim. That the body should be shemayim like, as opposed to being earthly. We're made up of Shemayim and Aretz. Our Neshama is Shemayim. Our body is Aretz. The goal is to transform it, to remove that darkness, to remove the Hester Panim, so to speak, of the Guf, and to reveal the light within. Tachlis zo tusag bi'ikr al yedei chovas ha'ivarim. So what's interesting is, how do we achieve that? How do I fix my body? Well, I got to use my body. For starters, I got to use my body for the obligations of the limbs. Sherei heim heim chiyuvei ha'guf. Right? My left arm was created for the purpose of tefillin. It's through those actions that what? And how do I change the body? I change the body by using each limb for its mitzvah. 248 limbs, 248 mitzvahs asay. That's how I turn the body from a dark place of hester, of godly concealment, into a place of ha'ara, into a place of illumination. So now the question is, okay, fine, so that's what I do with my physical limbs. So what exactly is the avoda tzafuna? So what is my neshama working on? She's saying, well, my neshama is telling my left arm, put on tefillin. Okay. But then the neshama is just a teacher. The neshama doesn't have its own avoda. The neshama is just trying to tell the body what to do. Is that what the avoda of the neshama is? That's its avoda? To just be a policeman and tell the body what to do? No, that's not what it is. Garcinam bebrachos daf yoram aleph. Okay, so I told you, we're going to learn Chovas Levavos, Aramchal, and now Gemara and Brachos. So here's the third piece in our puzzle. And I'll elaborate a little bit. L'chavad Chanukah. Hane chamisha barchi nafshi, keneged mi omron David. When David HaMelech says five times, barchi nafshi es Hashem, my soul blesses Hashem, what did David have in mind when he said that five times? Why did he say it five times? Lo omron ele keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu ukeneged HaNeshama. He said it five times corresponding to Hashem and corresponding to the soul. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo Chol HaOlam. Just like Hashem fills the whole world, Hashem is the captain of this ship called the world. Af HaNeshama Meleas Kol HaGuf. So too the Neshama fills the entire body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Ve'eino Nireh. Just like Hashem can see us, but we can't see Him. Af HaNeshama Roeh Ve'eino Nireh. So too the Neshama sees, but cannot be seen. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Kol HaOlam. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the entire world, Af HaNeshama Zanes Kol HaGuf. So too, the Neshama provides sustenance for the body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahor, Af HaNeshama Tahora. Just like Hashem is pure, so too, the Neshama is pure. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chedri Chadarim. Just like the Hashem sits in the innermost chambers, so too, the Neshama is Yosheves B'Chedri Chadarim. Okay? So these are the five reasons that David HaMelech said, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. David HaMelech said, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem five times. Why? Connected these five things that Hashem and the Neshama have in common. Now some of them seem to overlap a little bit. We're not going to be medayik in that right now. We're just going to keep going. But these are the five Baruch Nafshis. And therefore, what's this connection between the Neshama and Hashem? Your Neshama being, again, a chelek elokam imal, as it says in Iyov, a piece of Hashem, kiviyachol. What's the point of all this? Yavo Misha Yeshbo Chamisha Dvar Malalu V'yesha Berech L'Misha Yeshbo Chamisha Dvar Malalu. Let the one who has these five points of connection to soul come and praise the one who is the embodiment of these five things. In other words, Jews, Klal Yisrael, the Neshama, The neshama that I've been given, which has these five dimensions, should recognize Hashem who has his five dimensions, and I should praise Hashem. Okay. The Chanukah is about. Lahodos ulahalo. Tzeinu lemeidim bezesel. What do we learn from this? Ki dafka neshama yechol eshabeach lakbar. There's a parallel between Hashem and the neshama. That specifically, the neshama has the need to praise Hashem. Ki rak la yeshno tzar hashava kivyachol. My arm can do its avodah. But only my mouth can praise Hashem. My arm could be a good worker. My leg could be a good worker. My eyes could be good workers. But only my neshama has the ability to really get Hashem, to connect to Hashem. It has all these commonalities with Hashem. Hare rak mitzad neshama yachol odom la'avod leboro, v'dafka chovos halavavos, hamisyachsim el neshama heim heim ikar avoda. In other words, says Rav Volbe, yes, your limbs have to do their part. But realize you can only really connect to Hashem through your neshama. Because the part of you that actually gets Hashem is your neshama. The part that has something in common with Hashem. There's chovas evarim and there's chovas halavavos. Chovas evarim is that the limbs have to do what they have to do. That's the obligation of being gifted a body means I have to use my body in the way that Hashem wants me to use it. But that's not the ikar of my avodah. Because my body doesn't really get Hashem. It gets it the way that, you know, that again, a well-behaved child listens to the parent. Or a student to a teacher. But it doesn't, there's a level of like top-down. As opposed to the neshama and Hashem, they stand side by side. There's a level of companionship there. There's a level of mamish commonality. My neshama is, like the Baal Tanya says, I said it five times already today, achelek elokam ima'al mamish. It totally gets Hashem. It's not just working for Hashem. It's one with Hashem. Okay? Let's pause here just for a minute because we'll do a little couple Chanukah Dik Ramazan that I can't pass over now. Okay? Because there's such sweetness in this Gemara. We gave a shiur a couple years ago based on a teaching from the Sefer Divrei Shmuel of Shmelk of Nicholsburg. He said that Chanukah, everyone's trying to figure out what the name Chanukah means, right? Chanukah Hey. Chanukah Samizbeach, Chanukah Samikdash, Chanukah Saminora. Rav Shmelk of Nicholsburg says the Chanukah is Chinochei. To be Mechanech, the five parts of the soul. The Hei Chalkei HaNefesh. Meaning that's sort of the secret to this Gemara that's just being glossed over here, right? Why did David Melech say Baruch Hinafshi Hashem five times? Oh, corresponding to these five things that God and the Neshama have in common. It's more than that. Right? There's five parts to your soul. What are the names of the five parts of the soul? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. How many parts are there to God's most essential name of the Torah, Yudkei Vavkei? It appears 1,820 times in the Torah. That's a lot of times for a small book. How many parts are there to God's name? So you'll say there are four letters, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. But really, there's a fifth dimension, right? The point on top of the Yud is almost counted in Pnimius as a fifth dimension. So there's really five parts to Hashem's four-letter name. And each of those five parts bring down a different part of our soul, so to speak. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. David HaMelech said, Baruch Yinafshi as Hashem, can I get these five chalkei nefesh? Okay. So here's what the Svarim say. A lot of this is from the B'nai Shleishim, some of it's from other places also. Okay, this is unbelievable. What's the gematria of Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem? Pen Zadcha, let's go. Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. Okay? How much is Baruch?
232.
Okay, that's a nice number. It's Apsag Maben. It's four expansions of Hashem's name. Okay, Nafshi, what's Nafshi? 440. S, 401, Hashem, Yudke Vavke, 26. So how much is 232, 440, 401, and 26? And there was Jared.
232.
1099. 1099. Okay? 1099. Okay? Now, what are the names of the five parts of the soul? Let's add them up. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Ches Yudhei, and Yechida. How much is Nefesh? 4:30. How much is ruach? 2:14. How much is neshama? 395. Chaya? 23. And yechidah? Sometimes called the pintaliyid. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a shiur on it. 37. Okay, so how much is nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechidah? 430, 214, 395, 23, and 37. 1099, okay? Good. So we're off to a good start. So David HaMelech said, Baruch Hinafshi Yas Hashem five times. And the Gemara is telling us in Maseches Brachos, Keneged, these five things that God and the Neshama have in common. But we're being Megal of the secret here a little bit, right? David HaMelech said, Baruch Hinafshi Yas Hashem five times. Because Baruch Hinafshi Yas Hashem is Gematria, the names of the five parts of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Okay, great. So I told you that the Rebbe, Rav Shmelke of Nicholsburg, says the Chanukah is Chinuch Hay. We're trying to save our soul from the Yavanim. We're trying to save our soul. We know that. You know, just open up Mishnah Berurah, you'll see that. The difference between Purim and Chanukah, even though they're connected, they always have to be connected, by the way. Right? Even though we say the right arm is Chesed, is Pesach, the left arm is Gvura, is Yitzchak, is Shruas, Yaakov is Sukkos, the legs, Netzach and Hod, correspond to Purim and Chanukah. Usually, again, primarily the right leg, Netzach, is Purim. The left leg, Hod, is Chanukah. Right? Purim, we sing, Chuasam Ha'isa LaNetzach. And on Chanukah, it's LaHodos U'LaHalil. It's all about the Tikkun of Hod. So primarily, Netzach and Hod are right leg and left leg. Right? But you need the legs work in tandem. God forbid a person didn't have a left arm. God forbid. You can still do a lot with your right arm. If you only have one leg, it's a different thing, right? It's a lot less useful than what?
My grandfather has one.
Yeah? Okay. How does he get around?
He has an artificial leg.
Has an artificial leg, okay. Right. Why does he need an artificial leg? Why can't he just go with one leg? So the answer is because you need one leg without a second leg is very, very difficult to navigate. So the legs work together. That's why it says, you open up a sitter, it says in the Pasach Eliyahu at the beginning of the sitter, the Nusach Svart sitter, It says that the Netzach and Hod are the Trei Shokin. It doesn't assign them. Right? When it says Chesed, it says right arm. When it says Gvur, it says left arm. When it says Netzach and Hod, it says the two thighs, the two legs. Why not divide them up? Because they're interwoven. Netzach and Hod are always working together. So if you look in the writings of the Arizal discusses back and forth which one is Purim, which one is Chanukah. It seems, according to all the Sfarim that I've seen, that Purim is primarily the right leg, and Chanukah is primarily the left leg, but they're always connected. They're always working together. Purim, they're primarily trying to kill our bodies. Chanukah, they're primarily trying to kill our souls, but they're both true. On Purim, they're also trying to destroy our soul. Like, Huda Maisa Ora, Ora is the Torah. Right? We were fighting for Torah also on Purim. And on Chanukah, we got into a war. Chashmona had to go out and fight a war, so they were trying to physically kill us as well. Okay, but it's primarily set up that way. So now, says Rav Shmelke of Nicholsburg, Chanukah is chinuchei, to try to restore the five parts of the soul, to make sure that they're fully intact. Okay, how did the Avanim try to destroy our five parts of our soul? Well, they made a lot of gezeros, but there were three main gezeros that they made. What were the three main gezeros that the Avanim made against the Jews? No Shabbos. No Chodesh, and no Bris Milah. Okay? Let's add up the gematria of Shabbos, Chodesh, Milah. Now, Chodesh has to be spelled the way it appears the first time in the Torah, without a Vav. Okay? HaChodesh Zalachem is spelled without a Vav. So, Ches Dalet Shin. So, Shabbos, Shabbat. Chodesh, 702 is Shabbos. Chodesh is how much? 312. And Milah?
612.
Milah is?
612.
Milah is what? 85. Not Bris, just Milah. Shabbos, Chodesh, Milah. So 702, 312, and 85 is how much?
I guess the 99.
There's no guessing.
How much is it?
How much? Let's see. 702, 312, and 85. 1099.
Oh, wow.
1099. Okay, so now we understand. Now we're starting to understand a little bit what these bad guys were trying to do. Okay? Now, we fought back. When did we fight back? When did we fight back? How did we fight back? When did we fight back? Well, the Nusach HaTfilah that corresponds to any holiday obviously reveals to us the essence of the holiday in many ways. Right? So the tefillah begins, B'yimei Matis Yal, Ben Yochanan. It was in the days of Matis Yal, Ben Yochanan. So let's add that up. B'yimei Matis Yal, Ben Yochanan. Let's see. B'yimei Matis Yal, Ben Yochanan. How much is B'yimei? 62. How much is Matis Yal? Same as Rosh Hashanah, same as Beis HaMikdash, 861. Ben, 52. Yochanan, 124. Okay, so who's got the magic numbers? 62, 861, 52, and 124. 1099, Gevaldik. 1099. Okay, so what do we have so far? Barchi Nafshi Yas Hashem, 1099. Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechida, 1099. Bimei Matis Yal Ben Yochanan, 1099. Yeah, Shabbos Chodesh Mil, that's how they tried to destroy us, 1099. Now, I told you, Chanukah and Purim are deeply connected to each other. So just to be mashlim this part of that inyan, just to be mashlim it a tiny bit, Chanukah, of course, is Shemen. What's Purim? It's Yayin, okay. It's also something else. What else is Purim? It's a lot of Purim. How many sons did Haman have? Oh, a lot. Rov Banav, Vikinanav, Ali Eitz Talisa. Okay, but we talk about the 10 sons of Haman who went to the gallows, right? Plus Haman. The Sfarim talk about Megalamukos, Bnei Yisachar. Haman is Gematria Chelbana. Right? So Haman and the 10 sons is 11 in total, 11 spices of the Ketores. Mordechai is more dror, the Gemara says. Mordechai is named for the pure myrrh, which is the best of the spices of the Ketores. Haman is the worst of the spices of the Ketores, the Chelbana. Ketores is a major player on Purim. Okay, so maybe you could say, in my own suggestion, Shemen plus Ketores. How much is Shemen? Shemen is 390. Ketores, also spelled without the Vav, is 7. So again, 1099. Shemen plus Ketores is 1099, because this is also very much a Purim Sugya. Okay? All right. Good. So that's what's really happening with this Gemara, right? Why did David Melech say Barchi Nafshi five times? Can I get these five things? Now, if you want to try to match up these five with the five parts of the soul, and you want to present that to me, I'd be appreciative. I'd love to hear your take on it. Right? I mean, how do these five things that the soul and Hashem have in common, how do they correspond to Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, and Yechida? Okay? Okay, fine. Gevaldik. Let's go back to planet Earth now. Okay? Says Revolvi. Revolvi said, I'm going to do deep things that I don't usually do. So you have to be mishtatef in that. Okay, fine, good. So, af gamzos anu loimdim ma'amar mazal. So let's finish it up. Yeah, everyone see where we are?
Yeah.
Middle paragraph. Af gamzos anu loimdim ma'amar mazal. So what else do we learn? What else is really being taught to us by this Gemara in Brachos? Ki migidre haneshama hu lihios roa ve'eno niras. Right. This Gemara is again telling us that the nature of the neshama is to what? Is to see and not be seen. So just like the Chovas Halavavos told us about the Avoda Guluya and the Avoda Tzafuna, so too now, what? Now the Gemara in Brachas is also telling us that the neshama is able to see with clarity, but it can't be seen. B'chan mitarim lanu chazal, mahi ruchnius b'chlala. And here's really his punchline. Says Revolvi, you know what this Gemara is telling us? This Gemara is telling us, what is Ruchnius? What is most of our life? Most of our life, if we're going to be good Jews, is believing in things that we can't see. We have a kid's book at home called The Invisible Book. And it's a very cute book. It's a very cute book. It's a Chabad book. It's a very cute book. And it basically says, like, you know, how does... You know, what's in my cheeks when I go like that? And like, what's in a balloon? And like, what's, you know, all these things. Like, I feel the wind, but I can't see the wind. And like, all these things that we interact with on a daily basis, that we know them to be true, we feel them, we experience them, we play by those rules, even though we can't see them. And the punchline basically is like the same way that there's many invisible things in this world that you see all the time and you interact with without really seeing, the roa vein or nira. So too, you know, the same thing is true with Hashem. Like if Hashem seems strange to you and hard to understand, right, it's not any harder than many other things that we don't really understand. But obviously in the spiritual realm, we're encountering it the most directly and the most head-on. So what is Ruchnius Bechla? What is Ruchnius in general? He's Zonas Kol Olam Vaguf Umamali Osa, right? Like the Gemara has told us, that Hashem sustains and fills the entire world or the entire body. Shorish Kol Nivra Ba'olam V'chol Eivra Beguf Hu Beruchnius. In other words, beyond my physical arm, which will bind physical tefillin to itself, it's filled with what? It's filled with Ruchnius. Now, I don't even know what that means. I've never seen Ruchnius. It's filled with Neshama. Neshama fills the whole body like Hashem fills the whole world. I don't know what that means. But Ruchnius is challenging me to believe that Hashem is as real as this table that I can touch. And that's what the life of a Jew is about. And it's that life-sustaining energy of godliness that allows it to exist. Ruchnius zo memali es kol ha'avaya ad kileis asar panoi minei. This spirituality fills all of reality to the point that there is no place that is devoid of Him. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, Hashem is found everywhere. Ruchnius zu atzma tohorihi. This ruchnius is very pure. Upnimisi. And it's very hidden, it's very internal. Like the Gemara told us that Hashem is Yosheves bechedri chadarim. Hashem is hidden within this table. And Hashem is this table. What does that mean? I should bow down to this table? Of course not. So what does that mean? I wrote, Lizko seleha, Lizako seleha, Muchrach mikodem lachdor letoch tochi usam shel kol hadvar. So a person who wants to understand this and achieve this and connect to this needs to what? Needs to delve, so to speak, into the inner dimension of things. Like Rabbi Nachman writes in the first piece in Likutei Maran, to mistakel and the seichel of kol davar. What does it mean, the seichel of kol davar? Seichel of kol davar means the neshama within everything. What is the spiritual energy by which this table exists? Right? Because the physical reality of the table is not the be-all and end-all. La'amod al nishmaso ki hi ikir havayaso. To identify the soul of it. The same way your soul sustains each bit of your body and fills every limb of the body, so too Hashem fills every bit of the Bria. V'liros nechocha ruchniuso shalolam kulo. And to be able to see with a great clarity and a deep understanding the ruchnius of everything. Eich uvama yagia lezeh. So how does a person come to this? Chazal revealed to us. Gilu chazal sanakuda merkazis. Here's the main thing. Here's the central point about which the whole thing revolves. Asher aleh anu tzrichim levaseis avodaseinu imamnam bahasaga ruchnis o chafatzim vehi ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu roe veinu nira af haneshama roe veinu niras. In one line, what is the avoda, what is the spiritual avoda of a Jew? Just like Hashem sees without being seen, the neshama sees without being seen. In other words, I have to believe that my neshama, through the eyes of my neshama, I can see the world the way it's supposed to be seen, even though I can't even see my neshama. I can't see the ruchnius of this table. And I can't see with my physical eyes why is Saturday and Shabbos not the same thing. My whole life is trying to see the things that I can't see. Kadeshi is Romim Adam Lafchanas Tishmasa Vagam Lafchanas Amali Vizanis Kololam Kulo. A love la rega lis alim lagari meha olam hanirale inayim. And the only way that I can do this is what? Is by not getting caught, so to speak, in the world that I see with my eyes. I need rather to what? To hide myself. Lihisalim. To conceal, completely hide myself from the world. To block out the world. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When I cover my eyes, I can say Echad. There's no longer a fight between the body and the soul. There's a oneness to things. My body is working with the soul. It's my eyes that mislead me. Don't be deceived by your eyes. The Sfasemis explains. Don't see the world superficially. Because my body sees a soda bottle. My body sees a cell phone. My body sees a table and a pen. My body sees an arm. My body sees physical. And it's the things that I can't see, which is the real stuff of this world. That's the key line, really. Maybe that's really the key line of the whole thing. That this ruchnius is not any less real than the physical things that I see. In fact, it's infinitely more real. That's the whole challenge of this game. this crazy game that Hashem asked us to play. You're asking me to believe more in you than I believe in this table. But the table is so real to me. I'm touching it. I can feel it. I can look where it was created. I can understand it. I could smell it. I could even taste it if I wanted to. It'd be a little gross, but yeah. I can interact with this table in all of my senses. And you, Hashem, I've never seen you, never smelled you, I've never tasted you, right? Even though I could say, what do you mean? When I smell the chulent on Shabbos, I smell you, Hashem. That's not a joke, that's a real thing. Right? To be able to believe in the things you can't see as being more of a metzias than the shulchan, than the kiseh, than the bayis, than the eitz, than all these things. But it's impossible to sort of experience it through the eyes, through the physical eyes. And don't think that what I'm talking here is about what? Is about experiencing it through an idea, through an ideology, through a philosophy. Lo ki eila kadosh baruch hu roeh. V'gam neshama roeh. Klomar hu yisbarach chai v'roeh usi. It has to be something that you can see. Right? I mean, with the right set of eyes, you could see it. With the right set of eyes, you could actually experience it. The neshama sees. The neshama doesn't understand. The Gemara doesn't say the neshama understands it. The neshama is able to see it. Hu yisbarach chai v'roeh usi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my neshama sees me in the clearest of ways. And therefore, kan aleinu lislamid lahavchin bruchniyoseinu, to understand our ruchnias and to train ourselves. Chinuch, like he started. What was the first words of this whole piece? Yesod hachinuch letorah, ma'o. What is the essence of living a Torah life? Is being able to train myself to really see in a very real way. The way my neshama sees, I want to be able to see it back, so to speak, in a very tangible and real way.
It's
only when I understand, and again, now he's leading into his whole Sefer, which is nurturing and developing and expanding and refining the soul. Revolbi says, it's only if I actually understand my soul and I'm able to, so to speak, see my soul and to see the spiritual realms that I'm able to interact with Hashem. Going back to the Gemara in Brachos, right? The body is not able to really get Hashem. But on the level of neshama, if I'm deeply connected to my neshama, then I can serve Hashem, neshama to neshama. Right? My soul to the soul of all souls, which is Hashem. Yavo mi sheyesh po hei dvar malalu, v'yishabech lemi sheyesh po hei dvar malalu. That the one who has these five things, neshama, come and praise Hashem. So to whatever degree I understand Hashem, I'll understand the spiritual reality of the world, and I'll be able to have a real connection to a Kodesh Baruch. Okay? Ending the piece, last three lines. So now we have a new understanding of the Chovas Levavos. Right? We would have read the Chovas Levavos and said, there's doing the actions, and then there's like having kavana for the actions. It's much more than that. Now we've understood the Chovas Levavos through the perspective of this Gemara, which defines everything as what? As nira ve'eno nira. As things that can be seen, and things that can't be seen. Or things that can see you, and your struggle to see it. Why do I daven with kavana? When I feel that I'm standing before Hashem, I daven with kavana. When I feel like I'm talking to the air, so I don't daven with kavana. Right? When I allow myself to experience Shabbos in a deep way, it feels like something. And when I'm not connected in a deep way to Shabbos, I feel like I'm just, yeah, there's things I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. Things I just don't do on Shabbos. That's not experiencing Shabbos, not feeling Shabbos. Masha Aguf, who knows Sehayetzahara, I know you don't have the last two lines of the piece. I had Rachmanis in the paper. I'll just read it to you. Masha Aguf, who knows Sehayetzahara. V'amnam magdir lanu es mehuso, ach eino magdir lanu es anakuda asher ba aleinu lisromeim me'al hagufnius. Nakuda says ale zu, hidafka zu, shaguf nira, v'nefesh eino nires, kasher biarnu. He says again, the whole struggle of life in this world is that the Yetzirah wants us to believe in that which we see and be convinced that this is more essential. The physical table is more real than the spiritual energy that sustains this table. And the whole avoda of the soul is what? Is nira ve'eino niras. That even though you can't see it, it can see you. And the more I believe that it's really there, And the more I try to develop the eyes to be able to see it, again, whether that means I'll be able to see things like the tzaddikim, not necessarily, but to at least be able to close my eyes and to see it, right? To be able to believe it as being as real, if more real, than the physical world around us. So I think it's a very Chanukah diktorah. All the vote of Chanukah, you look at that little flame, and you're wondering, like, what am I supposed to see in this flame, you know? Tzaddikim say, you know, every flame has the name of Hashem hovering over it. It says Yud Kei Vav Kei on top of the flame. Does anyone see that? Saw that last night, Seth?
I wish
too. I was looking for it. I didn't see it. Maybe I did see it. Maybe my soul saw it. My neshama is roa. Even though ain't onir, even though my body doesn't allow my mind to believe that I saw it, but maybe I did see it. And if I really can believe in those things that I can't see, my energy for Yiddishkeit is just a totally different energy. All right, so this is a yesod gadol in understanding ourselves and understanding our world. And halavai, Hashem should help us to have elevated vision. Like we say in the Yakum Porkan, Nehoira Ma'alia. We should have illuminated eyesight, able to see things in a deep way. Okay, shkoyach. Good luck studying. Gale naiva, bita neflos mitarasecha.